Our Ask Lou segment is sponsored by Lindholm Roofing. Their family has your family covered. What's the thing you like most about your vehicle, Lou? What's the frustration you have that bugs you the most about your vehicle?
You mean my 2023 Chevy Silverado?
Silverado, yeah.
Right. It's a great time to put a Silverado in your toolbox, as Steve Alexander says.
Ha, ha.
Steve, it always makes me very happy when I hear that.
Me too.
I love my truck, and it's full of technology, but I think the thing that I most like about it is how quiet it is. You know, yeah. I call this truck a gentleman's truck. So it's a very nice appointed truck, and so I can put it to work, but then I could also wear a suit and go to a, you know, nice dinner.
Yeah, that's the thing that amazes me about these things these days, is that when you're in a giant SUV or Silverado's bigger than the Blazer I was driving, but it rides smooth, you know. It doesn't drive big,
which I like. So you know, I mentioned this on the air that I got into an accident. I hit a deer coming back from a fishing trip, and so I didn't have the truck for like 3 weeks. And I literally, when I went to go pick it up, I gave it a hug.
Yeah. Hey, Lou, I don't have a lot of time here. I've wasted some already, but I have been telling people the story about you as a guest extra on an episode of The Bear. I don't know if you've heard me tell that story. I think I got it right, where you spent a few days there and a few outfits of your own that they nixed. Now Lou just clicked out. He'll jump back in. And then when the episode finally did air, Lou is supposed to be a diner at the restaurant, and the scene did happen, but they completely shot around Lou. Of all people, Lou Manfredini, you would want him in your episode. You would want him sort of in the background as a diner. But you were not cut out, but they just shot around you, right, Lou?
Can I read one reviewer that I got a review from? Actually, Steve Alexander sent me a text. He said, "Last night, Diane and I watched the Bear episode you weren't in. A very understated performance, sir. Bravo." I thought for sure I was going to be in the episode. I mean, I was sitting, so they had all these extras. We were in the restaurant of the Bear, right? Like, they made in the soundstage over at the old Ryerson Steel Plant, which, by the way, when I was 19, I used to go there and pick up steel because I worked for a steel company. And we go in there. I'm sitting with a gentleman at this table. We're like two guests. We've just eaten. And Richie comes out of the kitchen, and he rounds right by us. And the table that he's doing the whole scene is right there. I'm like, I know enough about cameras. I've been on, you know, shoots before. I'm like, oh, this shot, for sure, my left shoulder, my left ear, or something. And then there was another scene that said, "You guys stay right here. We're going to need you for this scene." Nothing. Not even... like nothing.
How many times did they do the scene? Did they have to say, "Okay, try it again"?
Can I tell you something? The one thing that I was impressed, and I've been around a bunch of this kind of stuff before, so professional and so tight. They did it twice, and the only reason they did it twice is they used a couple different camera angles, and you know, and then they just moved on to the next thing. They were so efficient. It was incredible.
Were you eating, Lou? Was there food on your plate?
There was food on my plate. They poured me a glass of red wine. My guest who I was with, dining with, had white wine. But the food was, it was like we had eaten. And then this was funny. You know, in that scene, it's where he brings an Italian beef to this family who wanted to try an Italian beef. And in the second scene, they call the showrunner of the show, who's from Park Ridge. His sister was the chef that is kind of the inspiration of this whole thing. And she's the culinary person, and her nickname, I guess, is Coco. Like, "Coco, can you make this beef look like it's been eaten?" And I'm like, "I can just take a bite of it."
Yeah, I can help you with that. Was the wine you were drinking alcoholic wine?
I do not know. I was told not to touch it. It was just in front of me. I don't
think it was. So just sit there and chat. Huh. Wow.
Right.
All right.
We were there. We were told to pantomime.
Let's do what we're asked to do, the Lou to do list. I'm going to take a commercial break after you set it up. What are we going to talk about, Lou?
We're going to talk about I've been so moved by and saddened by what happened in Texas, and I think there's a few things we need to do so that we're prepared.
Yeah. The Tribune page one story, was it today or yesterday? I think it's today, actually, talks about emergency preparedness, more from a federal standpoint, like what is the government doing about the weather service here? We had several inches of rain in an hour the other day, and some of you got flooded. It wasn't like happened in Texas, but what are we doing at a macro level, and what can you and I do after this on WGN? On WGN Radio, Lou Manfredini, Mr. Fix-It. Okay, Lou, we have all suffered through the coverage, not like the individuals have, of course, but it's dampened everybody's spirit and made us think a little bit what's going on in Texas with how should we be better emergency prepared ourselves. What are you thinking about?
Well, I think that, you know, for our audience, hopefully they already have this, but I mentioned that we should all have a portable radio. You know, one of the things they talked about is in that area in Texas, there was not great cell phone service. And I think we are all relying upon our cell phones to give us all this information. And it is, you know, very reliable and it's all great. But we have, you know, made a living and a career out of being on the radio. And we happen to be part of a station that is the, you know, actually designated as the emergency broadcasting station if there was an issue. And so a battery operated AM/FM shortwave radio will cost you $20. Have one in a drawer somewhere that you can use. There are other ones that have a crank and a solar panel. There's a manufacturer called Eaton that you can buy. They're about $60, but you can buy something inexpensive to know what's going on. A cadre of flashlights and lanterns if the power goes out. Yeah. For sure you want to have that. Not just one, several, because if there's something going on, you want to make sure that that you have the ability to see. And quite frankly, there's a piece of technology. There's a company called Fite. They make a light bulb that you would use every day in your lamp. You know, you turn it on and off all day long. But if the power goes out, it has a built-in battery. It'll run for up to 3 hours. It's just a light bulb.
So do you screw it into a lamp, I guess?
You would use it every day as your light, as a lamp, when the power is on. But when the power goes out, it knows the power is out, and the light bulb, it's like your Uncle Fester putting the light bulb in your mouth.
So that's my everyday light bulb, but it's got a little battery in there or something, and it's charged. Yep. And when the lights go out, I still have lights on.
Correct.
That is the greatest invention. And what a brilliant idea. What is that called, Lou?
It's a battery backup light bulb by Fite, F-I-E-T.
Wow. Clever. Okay, so a way to hear emergency information, have plenty of illumination. Any other ideas, Lou?
Well, I mean, I think that those are, you know, two basic things that, you know, there's a whole cadre of other things that we could have and as part of a disaster program in that respect. But, you know, I just want people to have the ability to know what's happening and get the information that they need. And, you know, certainly backup generators and things like that. You could go overboard and, you know, food sources and water, that kind of stuff. I was just thinking about basic stuff that we should have so you know what to do. We're fortunate enough to live in a very populated area that, God forbid, if there was some disaster, you know, there's tons of resources here where, you know, where what happened in Texas and New Mexico, you know, kind of out in the middle of nowhere, and all those resources have to get there first.
One last thing. I've got about 60 seconds left. Just tell me in general what you think about generators, either whole house ones or the portable ones. We've talked about these before, but this is along the same line. So what would you like our audience to know?
I'm fortunate enough, Mary Beth and I, we actually have we have two homes. We have a home in Evanston and we have a home in southeastern Wisconsin. And over the years, I have installed two permanent standby generators at both homes that run off of natural gas. Both of those generators will operate the entire home off of natural gas if there's a power outage. And we have used them, you know, over the years when there have been power outages. And it is an investment. It is not an inexpensive proposition. It is money well spent, in my opinion. In particular, as we age and you're looking for ways to simplify your life, if you happen to have any kind of medical device that your needs to operate all the time, this is something you should absolutely invest in. Portable generators are great, but you need to be home for them to operate, and you need to have what's called a disconnect, and the electrician put in a disconnect so that you throw a switch, almost like raising Frankenstein from the dead, and then you have to go out and fire this thing up, and you got to keep it fueled. And the thing is, when there's no power, gas stations don't have gas because they run electrical to run those pumps. They do make ones that run off of propane.
Yeah.
You can use propane tanks like a grill, so there are multi-fuel options, but the investment to do a whole house permanent generator, in my opinion, is money well spent.
Mr. Fix-It, Lou Manfredini, Saturday mornings on WGN starting at 6. Thanks a lot, Lou. Very helpful today.
See you, John.
Huge mistake by the producers of The Bear not to include Lou's shoulder in that episode.